Previously on the Tony Kornheiser Show.
That's what you have to do. Now, I don't know how many people know what that is. Maybe it's just Camp Kiyuma for all I know. But that was,
no,
that
I like
was what
that.
It is.
Okay, thank you.
You can play it at home.
I mean, it's you know, the show to me sounds very much like it has always sounded, especially now with sports back. But for me in particular, and I'm sure this applies to the Davids and Jeans and Tori and the CNN guy, his name escapes me, but it's hard for me. It's different for me to listen.
The Tony Kornheiser Show is on now.
What a delight to have had Gary on. That was really good. I appreciated that very much. We are, Michael and I, 6 feet and 1 inches apart at opposite ends of Uncle Benny's table. And let me just say, to begin with, because of the side of the street that I walk on, we will not have a show Monday. We'll do shows Tuesday and Wednesday, but I'm going to observe Yom Kippur. It is the one holy day that I observe, and I don't work. I do like to play golf, though, and I've talked to you about my rationalizations about that. It's interesting to hear Gary talk. He asked me about Steal the Bacon. We have a lot of email about Steal the Bacon. That will be our email segment today. There are sports things I can talk about. The Nats lose last night. I watched virtually every pitch of it. Patrick Corbin had a terrible year, 2-7 and a 4.66.
A lot of home runs.
Yeah, I mean, you know, you can't. 4.66 is ridiculous. That's five. You are putting your team down 5-0 over 9 innings. That's what you're doing. It's just, you know, you can't do that.
Great in the pen last year.
Yeah, sure. Well, that's why they were great, because Strasburg and Corbin were willing to sacrifice for the team, as was Scherzer. Whoever was asked was willing to sacrifice. There's no point this year in doing that. They didn't get to anything. Dolphins and the Jaguars, having done Monday Night Football, I can tell you, you see that on the schedule and you just go, oh my God. Because nobody, see, your rating always depends on how many people start with you, because your audience always builds. ESPN will get a great rating on Monday night because everyone wants to start with the Chiefs at Baltimore. Now, it's not ever going to be as good as Cowboys Giants or something like that, or Cowboys Bears, you know, Cowboys Packers, because more people will go to that to begin with than Kansas City and Baltimore. They're larger places. They're more well-known. They've been there for a long period of time. Miami-Jacksonville is disastrous. If you get something like that, and we used to get games like that in Jacksonville, the only thing worse, Carolina at Jacksonville, just there's no draw. There's just no draw. Nobody cares. And neither do I. I watched maybe 6 or 7 plays of that game. I got it wrong on PTI. I could talk about that. Lakers and the Nuggets. I think fairly predictably the Lakers won that game. Anthony Davis had a real good bounce back game. LeBron James, the best player in the world. And I would talk about all of these things. But something happened to me yesterday that I intend to talk about in much greater length. And that is the unfortunate and untimely demise of the great Jack Vardaman, who was, and I'm going to go through some detail here. I awakened yesterday, went downstairs a little bit before 6 in the morning and found a text from the great Sam Reeves, which said, so sorry to hear about Jack dying. And of course, I didn't know anything about that. That's Chessie in the background as dogs walk along the street. I didn't know anything about it, and I hoped he was wrong. I mean, I honestly hoped he was wrong. I didn't know, and my background on this is that in the last week or so, I had had emails back and forth with Jack. He was at the time in his house in the Cascades in southwestern Virginia. Hot Springs, southwestern Virginia, I believe, something like that, where he's had a vacation home for a long period of time. And we talked about what his plans were. We talked about the show, and we talked about how he was playing golf and trying to stay away from any coronavirus circumstances and you know, his upset at the State of the Union and things like that. But all in good humor, as Jack Vardaman always had good humor. And I just thought, wow, how can this be? How can this be? And I texted a couple of people who might know. And they did not know. Texted his dear friend, Dan Tate. Dan Tate later confirmed that he'd heard about it, but hadn't at the time. His friend, Liz Clark, I texted her, and Liz was distraught because she actually wrote me back and said we were to have dinner tonight. You know, I mean, it's just, it's totally sudden and unexpected. I texted the great Jimmy Dunn and some other people. Tom Friedman texted me to make sure I had heard about it, and I already had. And I went back and forth. And I, at one point, and I wrote this to a couple of people, Carol said to me yesterday, well, how did you meet him? And I said, I don't know. I don't remember. And I knew that he was not always there in my life, but I knew that since he was, it was wonderful and charming. This is the second person who I met pretty late, who I liked a lot, who listened to the show all the time, the other being George Mitrovich, who passed away rather suddenly last year. I was not nearly as close with him as I was with Jack. Jack was, and it's hard for me to use past tense because I use present tense a lot. Jack was the kindest person, the most generous person with no agenda, right, Michael? No agenda. Asked nothing back. Was just happy. In our case, the friendship revolved around golf and the podcast. And I did say to somebody, it's not that he was a close friend as much as he was a dear friend. And there's a difference. It's somebody you don't see all the time. You don't go in the same circles all the time. But when you are with them, that time is precious to you. Jack Vardaman is such an interesting story. Jack Vardaman is, as so many people are, which is why it's a term used so commonly, Jack Vardaman is the American dream. He grew up in Anniston, Alabama, small town in Alabama, and rooted for the Tide. Everybody roots for the Tide in Alabama, and he rooted for the Tide all the way through. He went to bowl games as recently as 2 years ago. I mean, he went to the national championships. He was a dyed-in-the-wool Alabama football fan, and probably would have gone to school at the University of Alabama and the University of Alabama Law School and practiced happily in Alabama, except things happened in his life. He was a very good golfer as a kid. And when you are a very good golfer as a kid, when you're a very good athlete of any kind, but you get to, in golf especially, as Michael knows, there are tournaments. There are state tournaments. There are tournaments around. You go to the tournaments. If you succeed, you meet different people. You meet a whole, at a young age, at 14 and 15 and 16, you meet a whole lot of different people that you wouldn't if there was no sports. You wouldn't have met them if you were just smart in school, because you could be smart in school and live in your own town and never meet anybody else. But golf, right, Michael, forces you out. Like, how many times did you get up in the morning and, you know, go to tournaments all around the area?
Have clubs, will drive.
That's how it goes. So he was a really good player, and that helped him a lot. And he ended up going to Washington and Lee University. And then again, would have probably gone back to the University of Alabama Law School, except that he got into Harvard. At that point, there are people who will tell you now that Yale Law School is the best law school. In fact, most people will tell you that. But at that time, 50, 55, 60 years ago, Harvard Law School was the gold plate. If you got into Harvard Law School, you went. You didn't go to Alabama. You went. You left. You went to Harvard. Changes. It's life-changing. Life-changing for Jack Vardaman. He then, after law school, he clerked, and I believe he clerked for, I know he clerked for a member of the Supreme Court. I believe it was Hugo Black, but I could be wrong on that. I could be wrong on that. I haven't looked that up. And then he joined the law firm of Williams and Connolly. Now, Williams and Connolly was a very, very high-powered law firm in Washington, D.C., and it was run by Edward Bennett Williams. And if you became a friend of and a ward of Edward Bennett Williams, that opened you up to an entirely different world. That was the world of Ben Bradley and Art Buchwald and Joseph Califano. That was the world of power in Washington, not political power, the behind-the-scenes power in Washington. And Edward Bennett Williams was a great trial lawyer. So if you said you worked for that firm, the assumption was you were a great lawyer too. And Jack was a great lawyer. And Jack stayed with that firm till yesterday. I mean, he was affiliated with the firm. He counseled people and mentored people and did all of those things. And he kept up with golf. And he became important in the USGA. And he became important in the sport of golf all around the country. And, you know, when you're a golfer and a lawyer, you're going to travel anyway and get to play a whole lot of courses. There are, maybe I'm wrong. Michael, you'll tell me if I'm wrong. But it seems to me that the four points of the cross in golf in America are Augusta, Cypress, Pine Valley, and Seminole. Right? Am I right on that?
Yeah, you might change one of the four, but no, I think you're correct based on the way members travel.
And the first time I spent any time with Jack Vardaman, he and Dan Tate took me and Wilbon to Pine Valley overnight. I mean, I got to tell you something. I have played with Jack Vardaman on the greatest courses in the United States of America, and I have chopped up the turf because I am a terrible player. And he was always encouraging. Like, if I hit a good shot, he said, that was a good shot. That was the first one in 9 or 10. That was a good shot. So we played at Pine Valley. And we played together at Seminole. And we played together at Augusta. And, of course, he introduced me to the great Sam Reeves. And so Sam Reeves was, you know, able to take me and friends to Cypress. That's it. You know, and then he introduced me to the great Jimmy Dunn, and we played Shinnecock, and we played National, which are the greatest courses on Long Island. And Shinnecock has hosted a number of U.S. Opens. I mean, this was all through Jack Vardaman asking nothing in return, just listening to the podcast. He'd come over every once in a while and sit in on the podcast. And he was, as my friend Chet Maxson said, he's the only lawyer Chet Maxson ever met, the only lawyer who was liked by everybody. It's impossible when you're a lawyer to be liked by everybody, especially if you're a good lawyer. And Jack Vardaman was liked by everybody. And I guess the greatest thing he ever did for me, and this is hard to sort of get your head around, because you're going to say, well, what's the big deal? There's a restaurant. There's a restaurant near Seminole called the Reef Grill. And it to get into the Reef Grill, it's a staging process. You go to the door of the Reef Grill and they say, yeah. And they send you to a restaurant about 60 feet away where you sit and you have drinks and eventually you get into the Reef Grill. Well, Jack Vardaman always got into the, always had a table. Like he always had a table. I've eaten with Jack Vardaman at the Reef Grill and run into people. I've told this story. Running into Rob Manfred, the commissioner of baseball at the Reef Grill. Waiting outside.
But to those who have never been to the Reef, this is not
joint.
A downtown.
Oh,
fancy
no, God,
restaurant.
No. God, no. If you wear a
board
T-shirt
shorts.
And cargo shorts, you may be overdressed at the Reef Grill. The people in the Reef Grill look like they've just gotten off Jimmy Buffett's bus. You know, the tour bus.
But to the kindness you speak of, we often say that golf shows you the outward mirror of someone's personality. And Jack, if you look at it, he was someone who was liked by the members and the caddies
everywhere.
In the same way. And that, to me, is the Reef Grill. It's an unpretentious place.
He was just so kind and so generous. And as I said, asked nothing in return. 4 years has been affiliated with the First Tee of Washington, D.C., was their chairman emeritus. Beloved.
I would say this from a personal level. This is the benefit of being a good golfer. You can maintain different levels of your engagement. And he was always an engaged member of your group, looking out
yes.
for you, cheering for you.
Yes.
But also, you would never know this. We played Shinnecock, and on the fourth hole, he and I are paired together. This is sort of a let-up. It's the pump house hole. I've got like a four-footer that I'm deciding with the caddy. Is it outside left edge? These greens are terrifying me. He just looks at me and goes, hit it in the hole.
Yeah.
I missed the putt, but he knows, he recognized as a good player, I could take that from him.
Yeah. And never, he was not looking for anything back. He never asked for anything. He was just so kind. Every single person who I communicated with yesterday had the same feeling I did. This is a big loss, big personal loss. And a wonderful, wonderful man. And I wanted to take some time to talk about him. As you know, one of his sons, Davis, plays music, and we've played under the band named Old Fuss and Feathers, and we've played his music.
Yes. And when he showed up to the show, he would have this knowing smile as if he was in on a secret, as he would eat his breakfast, his eggs over a chatter, and he was as happy being at Augusta with you as he was to hear music from his kid. And then we were at a board meeting and he had to run out, and the look on his face as he was getting ready to hopefully go meet his youngest grandson. That's the look.
Yeah. Just a lovely, lovely man. Lovely, lovely man. And I wish I didn't have to spend all this time because of what happened. But we will take a break. And when we come back, we'll get into our, betting and our predictions with Chuck Todd. I'm Tony Kornheiser.
This is the Tony Kornheiser Show.
This is the Policy Genius ad, and it says, please do not read verbatim. Personalize, rotate, and make this your own.
It sounds like a challenge.
I don't know. Right now, you could save $1,500 or more a year by using Policy Genius to compare life insurance policies. When you're shopping for a policy that lasts for a decade or more, those savings really start to add up. Now, if you don't want me to read that verbatim, and I say something like, when you could save $30 a year or more, like that wouldn't be verbatim, but $1,500 a year or more makes a lot more sense. What is Policy Genius? It's an insurance marketplace built and backed by a team of industry experts, and here's how it works. Step one, head to policygenius.com. In minutes, you can work out how much coverage you need and compare quotes from top insurers to find your best price. Step two, apply for your lowest price, because how stupid would you be to take something higher than that? Step three, the Policy Genius team will handle all the paperwork and the red tape. Policy Genius works for you, not the insurance company. So if you hit any speed bumps during the application process, they will take care of everything. And that kind of service has earned Policy Genius a 5-star rating across over 1,600 reviews on Trustpilot and Google. If you need life insurance, head to policygenius.com right now to get started. You could save $1,500 or more a year by comparing quotes on their marketplace. Policy Genius. When it comes to insurance, it's nice to get it right.
You're listening to The Tony Kornheiser Show.
I've been day drinking all by myself, trying to lose my memory. I've been slow cooking from the inside out, wondering what you've done to me. Been lying to my friends and lying to myself. Now I'm lying in a roadside bar, 'cause there ain't no way to drink all day if you don't get an early start.
This is Steve Lipton. It's wonderful. And it says, enclosed is an original song I wrote about America's favorite pastime, day drinking. As usual, this was connected for my own amusement and can be heard only of the Tony Kornheiser podcast, but littles can drop me a line if they'd like a copy. Any one percenters out there can hear me playing bass with the Springfield Bass Band, Got You Covered, at the Springfield Country Club tonight, Friday the 25th, 6:30 to 9:30. Socially distances and parking is always complimentary. Steve Lipton in Springfield, Virginia. It's a wonderful song, and it goes on for a while, which is really nice. You can hear it at the end of the podcast. Chuck Todd joins us now. Chuck was 3-4 last week, as with, Jeff Ma, lost New England late. I mean, that was the turn game. If Cam Newton sprints out to his right instead of his left, maybe he's in the end zone. Maybe you win that game. But, that you got your money's worth out of that game, didn't you think? That was a good game.
Oh, my God. It was a great game. It was a great game. And I'd have made the same bet. I have to say that was a surprisingly bad plain Jane play call.
Yes.
Like, everybody, really? You're going to try the same play the seventh time? They may learn.
They hadn't stopped it before. So, right. You keep doing it. You keep doing it. All right. You ready for this week's games?
Let's roll, man. Let's do it.
All right. New England is on the board one more time. The Las Vegas Raiders 2-0. Little surprising. I don't know. Excuse me. What's more surprising, that I called them the Las Vegas Raiders or that they're 2-0. They are getting 6 in New England. Who you like in this game?
The Raiders have gone. This is a classic. They're short week. They win at home. Short week Monday, and this is their second time cross country. So yeah, that's one of those that you have New England to be all over New England. All over New England. Yep.
I completely agree with that. And by the way, they have no defense.
Bill Belichick, after a loss, look at one of those, if you care about those trades, he's like 68% against the spread after a loss. Right? So it's one of those, all the odds say just throw a bunch of money at this. You know, you're 70% chance of winning money.
I agree with that. The L.A. Rams, speaking about going across country, the L.A. Rams are in Buffalo. Buffalo is 2-0. Josh Allen is the closest thing to Cam Newton in the league. He's big. He's strong. He can throw it down the field, and he can run it down the field. He started out really great. Rams are a good team, and they are getting 2.5, which is not a lot in Buffalo.
Man, I hate this game because, I mean, it's going to be a good game, but I hate it because I want to take the Rams, but they're doing the same thing. I think you're asking them to go cross country.
That's right.
For the second time in 3 weeks. And Buffalo's but the Rams have a good defense. Defense travels. But I have to say, Diggs has really made a difference for Allen. You can tell that. Give that guy an extra receiver.
Yep.
You can see stuff. I just think the Rams are really good this year, so I'm going to take them, but I don't love that. I don't love that pick. I just hate betting on Buffalo as a favorite right now. I'm just not comfortable with them as a good team yet. I think they are, but I'm just not. So I'll go with the Rams reluctantly.
That makes sense. Tampa Bay is giving 6 at Denver. They are a road favorite. Denver has been hit so hard by injuries and hit harder still by the incompetence of their head coach, Vic Fangio, who does not know what he's doing. This is the third game for Tom Brady. Interestingly, and I'm sure you've seen the same stuff, he's not using Rob Gronkowski at all. Rob Gronkowski may be done. He may be done, or else he'd be used. Giving 6 against a bad team at the moment. What do you got?
Man, I wanted to fade the Patriots here. I really did. But how do you bet on Denver for all the reasons you just said? They're a mash unit. The only thing good about Vic Fangio is his name.
Yes,
I do think it's a good name, right? It sounds like a good Vic Fangio. Yeah. You know, it just sounds like he could be, you know, the owner of the clothing store down the street. Hey, Vic Fangio here. You know, I sell big and tall suits.
Vic Fangio Dodge. I picture it that way.
Yeah.
Vic Fangio Dodge.
Yeah. Used or new?
Both.
Yeah. So I'm going to, this is a Patriots, but I wouldn't put real money in this game because I don't trust the Patriots yet. I mean,
it's Tampa Bay. It's Brady.
It looks like Jameis Winston. It just looks like Brady's, you know, I'm sorry, with a weaker arm. Anyway. Mm.
So you'll take Tampa Bay. All right.
I'll take them. Yeah.
Dallas is going to Seattle. They are getting 5 points. Dallas is somehow 1-1 when they should be 0-2. Seattle maybe should be 1-1, but Seattle's looked better than Dallas at this point. Will you take the 5 or will you take the home team?
You know, I don't love this. I think that 5 points is very tempting. You know, we could sit here and say Dallas should be 0-2, but, you know, they could easily be 2-0. That Rams game was close. They were in that game the whole time.
That's right.
You know, Seattle has a way of just sort of, just when they're out rolling, they'll have a poop game, you know, where they just don't play well for some reason. There's really no excuse. There's another one. I don't love this line. I'm just not going to bet against Seattle at home because I don't yet trust Dallas. But that's, again, I wouldn't want to put money there. I think that line's too high. It feels like a 3 or 4 point game, but I don't trust Dallas yet. So it's going to be Seattle.
We're going to give you 2 games in a row that are really good games. The first one is Green Bay at New Orleans. Green Bay is getting 3. Aaron Rodgers hates his coach so much and is playing very well so far and understands what a spotlight game this is. New Orleans lost, and there has been criticism of Drew Brees for the first time in 15 years. And Drew Brees and Sean Payton go back a long way, and they've won a lot of games, and they've bounced back a lot. And they have certainly bounced back at home. Green Bay is getting 3. Who you got?
What does Gary like to say? Father Time's undefeated?
Yes.
Isn't that one of his lines? You know?
Yes.
Father Time's undefeated. That's what it feels like here with Drew Brees, doesn't it? And the Packers are getting points?
3.
That's the other thing. I mean, this is probably, other than New England, probably my favorite game on the board to bet because I just think the Packers, this is a game they're going to win. I'm fear being that confident about Green Bay, but they seem like a team that went through a preseason. New Orleans looks like a team they're still trying to figure out who they are. That's a tough thing in week 3. So
I love the Packers here.
Okay. Kansas City, the Super Bowl champions, getting 3.5 on the road in Baltimore on Monday night. The two best offenses in the AFC, a game that a lot of people think, except in Nashville, a lot of people think will be the preview of the AFC championship game. This will get a very high rating for ESPN because a lot of eyeballs will start on that game. And you know what? Mine will, too. I mean, I'm going to want to watch this game for as long as I can stay up. Mahomes and Lamar Jackson, Kansas City getting 3.5.
By the way, I'm glad you noted the other day how much better this national schedule was by starting games at 6 o'clock.
Oh,
I mean,
yeah.
This has been, I mean, you know, I know that this
baseball
will go away once,
wonderful,
once fans come back. Yeah.
Just wonderful.
There's nothing wrong with starting football earlier, too, on these Monday night games. I'll take the hook. I think the half point there, this is like, that line is almost perfect, right? It's basically Baltimore's getting the home field. I'd rather have Mahomes as a dog, I guess here, and that extra half point with the field goal.
Right.
This is going to be, you know, it's funny. I'm curious to see I assume the Ravens are much more fired up about winning than the Chiefs are, right? The Ravens have something to prove. You know, they stunk it up in the playoffs. So I assume they're more fired up here. But, man, you know, I wonder if being an underdog fires Mahomes up. I'll be very curious to see.
Everybody's going to watch that game. And now yeah. I'm depressed because now I have to give you the Washington game.
The football team.
Yeah, very Washington exciting, is at Cleveland. Washington is getting 7 at Cleveland. Cleveland looked pretty good last week, but they were playing a very bad team in Cincinnati, so I don't know what to make of them. Will you take the 7 or will you take Cleveland?
By the way, is it just me or does it feel like that the football team just rotates between playing Arizona, Detroit, and Cleveland? I mean, it's just like, you know, like they're, you know, they play the NFC East, but it's like when they play outside of conference, it's always not exactly the glamour teams anymore. I guess that's the way the schedule goes. Give me the spread one more time.
7.
It's 7. That's a lot of point. You know, the football team isn't that bad. And the football team, you know, and I don't know if the Browns' one good performance against the Bengals proves that there's 7-point favorites over anybody yet. So give me the football team.
The fact that you call it the football team makes me smile. The football team.
It's such a ridiculous. My son thinks that we should call it the club. And I don't understand why they didn't call it the Washington Football Club, that it would have given it a little more cachet if they just referred to it as the club rather than
Washington FC.
It's just, it's this is an interim thing, I think, but I'm not even sure because I think people smile when they say it. I think people actually like it in some perverse way because it's so bad. They like it. The football team. So good. I haven't seen that yet. I'd like to see in a story in the Post on a Monday, second reference just being FT. FT. I just think FT. That would be funny. I think that'd be funny.
All right, guys.
Thank you. And we're done with the Nats by next week.
We are.
We're done. We're done.
We are
done with Suero. We're done with these dopes who came in and gave up 9 runs the other day in 2 innings. Just awful. We're done.
And by the way, we can't even field anymore. Have you noticed that? We're making more
it's
errors.
Just,
Rizzo's got a lot of work to do.
Yeah.
Got a lot of work to do. Do you go searching for a new starting pitcher?
I probably think you don't. I think you probably say to yourself, if Strasburg comes back and Corbin drops down to the third spot, and maybe you look at Voth on that one game and you say, we can get through this.
And
I don't know. But you know
Bremley,
what you got to do?
They really like Bremley, too, right? Or is that his name? Michael? Do I have that name right? You know what I'm talking about? Bremley.
You know, you got to get rid of Eric Thames, who came in last night as a pinch hitter and struck out on 3 pitch. Just get out. Just get out. I mean, that was a bad – he's a useless hire for them. Totally useless.
Yeah. We miss Ryan Zimmerman.
No.
Miss Ryan Zimmerman.
More than I ever thought. More than I ever thought. Thank you, Chuck.
Hi, guys. Thank you.
Chuck Todd, boys and girls, if we gave you just Chuck Todd, it would be enough, but we give you more, don't we, Nigel?
See the monkey, he's scritch, scratching, watching his iPad, smoking and laughing, hanging with Bud Grant, tap, tap, tapping on his purple attache.
Everybody join in.
To the zoo.
Reginald's got the bikes.
Sometimes he throws poo, 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 poo.
And he's had too much Johnny.
Johnny Walker Blue.
All right, where did you go? Where is he? Is he at the zoo still? He's 2-4, by the way.
Visiting the new panda?
He's not doing well. Has he seen the new panda?
I think he has seen the new panda, but he was not at the zoo once again. I had to go find him. He was out and about, on the corner of Wisconsin Avenue and Jennifer Street doing
really?
A site tour of a property there. Yes.
Really? The old chatter. Yeah, he's going to buy it. Good for him.
Well, apparently he's the one that opened a kosher deli or a weed store. He's not sure which, but okay. He's kicking the tires on that. So he took a break from the site examination to go over some of these games. The first game we gave him was Buffalo giving 2.5, hosting the Rams. And this is a lovely little photo he showed me of him sitting around a Thanksgiving table with Phil, Phil's mom, Marv Levy, Daryl Talley, and Scott Norwood. So,
That's so great.
He's got ties to the Buffalo area.
Good for him. Good for him.
Now, the next game we gave him was Dallas getting 5 on the road at Seattle. And this was an interesting little video he showed me of him sailing on a catamaran with Gary Hogaboom, Randy White, and Ricardo Montalban. Now, I don't know.
Ricardo Montalban? What was he doing there?
I have no idea what he's doing there, that tie means. I guess he was a big Cowboys fan, but clearly Reginald has ties to Dallas, so he will take the Cowboys and get the 5 there. And of course, the last game we gave him was the football team against Cleveland. And I don't know if you know this. He showed me some old video clips. He was a running back coach for the Browns in the late 80s. And he showed me videos of him showing Kevin Mack and Ernest Byner how to cover up the ball and, ball security. Obviously, he needed to spend a little bit more time with Byner on that.
Yes, he did.
But he's got ties to, the fumble in 88. So he'll take the Browns and lay the 7.
It's wonderful. It's wonderful. So happy to do these shows. We will come back. We'll come back with James Carville and Jeff Ma, right? Do I have that correct?
That's right.
We hope. Great. I am Tony Kornheiser.
You're listening to The Tony Kornheiser Show.
Okay, so we all know how a VPN protects your privacy and security online, right? But you didn't know that until recently, and it's going to take your TV watching game to the next level. You can use a VPN to unlock movies and shows that are only available in other countries. Over the weekend, why don't you try to binge Doctor Who on UK Netflix? It's so simple. Just fire up your ExpressVPN app or your TARDIS. Change your location to the UK, refresh Netflix, that's it. See, ExpressVPN hides your IP address and lets you control where you want sites to think you're located. You can choose from almost 100 different countries. So just think about all the Netflix libraries you can go through. Love anime? Use ExpressVPN to access Japanese Netflix and be spirited away. But it's not just Netflix. ExpressVPN works with any streaming service. The Hulu, BBC iPlayer, YouTube, you name it. There are hundreds of VPNs out there. Use ExpressVPN to watch shows because it's ridiculously fast. There's never any buffering or lag, and you can stream in HD, no problem. It's also compatible with all your devices, phones, media consoles, smart TVs, and more. So you can watch what you want on the go or on the big screen, wherever you are. If you visit Tony's special link right now, expressvpn.com/Tony, you can get an extra 3 months of ExpressVPN for free. Support the show, watch what you want, and protect yourself at expressvpn.com/Tony.
Such a good read. Thank you, Michael.
Thanks, Dad.
You're listening to The Tony Kornheiser Show.
We not only take original music, we take original music from long ago. Here's a tune from my 1991 release, Dave Smith and Friends, featuring the vocal stylings of Carlene Anderson. She was a student at Los Angeles City College when I taught there as an adjunct professor of percussion. Wow, you can be an adjunct professor of percussion from 1973 to 1988. She's going on to have a huge musical career in Europe. She now lives in England. The rest of the band, Greg Karukas, keyboardist, Bowie High School graduate, went on to play with Melissa Manchester, Ronnie Laws, and many of his own recordings in the smooth jazz genre. Randy Landis, bass. Dave Smith, Albert Einstein High School graduate, 1967. University of Maryland graduate, 1972. Played with Michael Jackson, Michael Bolton. Played on the movie Apocalypse Now and many others. How great is this? Playing in James Carville, and in the break before we went on the air, I said to James, what about Navy and Tulane? What about that? And your answer is what?
I was up 24-0, but like 45 seconds ago in the half and about to score, like the Navy 7-yard line, Tulane quarterback throws an interception. Navy comes back, beats them, the largest comeback in the history of the United States Naval Academy. If I ever set on Tulane again, shoot me. Don't
snarl. Yeah, so, because what you said was, and I'm going to quote you directly, Navy stinks. They're terrible, right?
They were for the first 6 quarters of the year.
Yeah, okay. All right, what do you got this week for us? What do you got?
All right, the Saints. I love the Saints. 3 times play, laying 3 at home against Green Bay. Sean Payton, disappointing, yeah, Drew Brees, disappointing road loss. This is a trap for Green Bay, a big, fat trap. 3 times, Saints lay the 3 points. Next, Georgia goes to Arkansas. All right, this is, again, Carville's testing his really bad team theory one more time. Arkansas is really bad.
Right.
What did John McKay said? Tampa Bay couldn't score against a strong wind.
John McKay also said when he was asked about the execution of his players, he said, "I'm in favor of that." It's one of the great lines of all time.
He was one of the funniest of all time.
Oh,
he said, "I can
so
say there's just overemphasis when 2 billion Chinese don't care. We win or lose." No, that's my territory. A triple play on the Saints and then take George and he's laying like 27.5 at Fayetteville. But don't worry about it. They can't score anywhere.
You're giving 27.5 on the road in a conference game? Really? Oh.
Yeah.
Okay.
Georgia's got the best defense in the country.
Okay.
Yeah, Arkansas 20... is not in the same – I know they're technically in the same league.
Right.
But that's all it is. It just sated both in the SEC. Georgia's – I mean, Arkansas is horrible. I can't remember the last time they won a conference game.
So you are –
Georgia's an elite football team.
Right, you're 3-1 at the moment. You're 3-1, but now you're doing 4 games in effect.
Four
a triple play on New Orleans. You're not at all worried that Aaron Rodgers likes that kind of stage and has been great so far. That doesn't worry you.
It worries me, but I know Brees and Peyton. I've been following them forever. Coming off a loss, they're unbelievable.
Right.
He just doesn't lose 2 games in a row very often. They really
all
don't.
Right.
I mean, the other side's always good. I mean, you only have 3.8 at home, you know. Jeez.
Thank you, James.
Thank you.
We'll talk to you next week. James Carville, boys and girls. Triple play. Early in the year to go triple. Because, like, you do that in Vegas and you lose, you go home, you don't have clothes. They take your clothing from you and put you in a barrel. Third week of the season, triple play on the Saints. Okay. The last time he went for a New Orleans team, Tulane, how did that work out last week?
Man,
is Jeff Ma with us? Are we trying
Not
to get
yet.
Jeff Ma?
I'm trying him now.
Oh, okay. Because we have no segment
but
without
he really
Jeff
loved
Ma.
The Tulane coaching staff.
Oh, he's just, I love that line. If I ever bet on Tulane again, just shoot me.
You sunk my battleship.
You know, it's just really something. So.
Jeff
Where's
is there.
Jeff?
He's there.
Okay, Jeff Ma joins us now. Jeff was 2-3 last week, and like Chuck Todd, missed by one put. Like the New England game, you've got the ball on the 1-yard line. You've got Cam Newton, who is usually unstoppable, scored like 50 of these touchdowns in his life. He rolls left, and he gets trapped behind the line, and you are getting 4, and you lose by 5. You lose by 1 point, right? Do I remember that correctly?
Yes, you do remember that correctly.
Because that would have been 3-2 and 6-4 instead of 2-3 and 5-5. But you went with the only time you didn't go with a home dog was that game. I'm trying to remember
was,
this. Good. All right. Jeff Ma does Bet the Process with Rufus Peabody, and Jeff is our analytic expert. Who you got this week?
So there's always a team, it seems like, every year that we can't kind of quit as professional bettors or as what we like to consider ourselves sharp bettors the past
Don't
year,
tell me it's the it. Jets. Don't tell me it's the Jets.
The Jets plus 11. Yeah, that's the team that we just can't quit this year. Like, the lines are just too big, we think. And, you know, this is one that we may look back and be like, no, they were just that bad. But, no, the 11.5 is in my mind too many points. I think that they are they're still a professional football team as far
no,
as I can
not.
Tell.
No, they're not. Who are they playing? Yeah. I don't even know who they're playing. So who do they play?
They're playing Indy.
Indianapolis. So I take it it's at Indianapolis because that line would not be if the Jets were at home. So it's plus 11.5 at Indianapolis. Sam Darnold isn't very good. Adam Gase isn't very good. They lost Le'Veon Bell, did they not? They stink is what I'm trying to say. And you think 11.5 is worth it?
Well, what's the motto of this show, right? This show stinks, so we got to pick teams that stink, really, if we're getting a lot of points, right? It's just, it's just consistent.
Okay, what else you got?
We're going to take the Carolina Panthers plus the 6.5. You know, obviously the Chargers are coming off of a really, really tough loss.
Yes.
Herbert played really well. You know, it was interesting reactions that Anthony Lynn had after the game. Carolina's actually played reasonably on offense. They've been in the top third in terms of yards per play. Their defense obviously is not very good. But you know, the reaction to McCaffrey, who is probably one of the few running backs in the league that actually does make a difference to the point spread.
Yes. Yes.
I'd actually just like Carolina plus a 6.5 here because I think that there's a little bit of a reaction to McCaffrey. And I think this is too many points.
Can I just say this about that team? Their team doctor punctured the lung of their starting quarterback while giving him an injection. That is, when I heard about that, I gasped. Just, what are you doing? What are you doing with the Chargers? Tyrod Taylor, what are you doing? Do you ever hear of anything like that, Jeff, in your life? I never heard of that. I never heard of it.
I mean, I think that's what we call malpractice, right? I mean,
just unbelievable. How does that doctor maintain his job? All right, what else?
All right. We're going to take Seattle -5 against Dallas. Obviously, this is pretty simple. I like what I've seen in Seattle this year, and I don't like what I've seen in Dallas. This line is a little bit higher than where it would have been, you know, previous to last week. But, you know, again, I think Dallas's offensive line has a lot of problems right now, and Seattle's been one of the top teams offensively, it seems, at least in the first 2 weeks, like they have been willing to let Russ cook, which is what we've all been waiting for. And you know, like Russ Wilson is now the favorite to win the MVP. He had, you know, got one in the last week. There were, you know, people like Mahomes and Lamar Jackson were above him, but now he is the favorite in terms of betting odds. So I like Seattle -5 here.
I'm just going to point this out. Dallas should be 0-2. They should never have won that game. Never. There's no chance of them winning that game. They are year after year after year the most overrated team maybe in all of sports, and it's because of their glamour. It's not because of their ability. It's because of their glamour. I would take this bet, too. I agree with this one. What else you got?
Tony, what do you think about McCarthy going for 2 in that situation where he could either have gone down by 8 or down by 9 or whatever, not down by 7 or 9.
McCarthy does things that are inexplicable given what he did in Green Bay, like the 2 fake punts in his own territory. I would tell you that he does this because he thinks that's what Jerry Jones wants. I think his decisions are informed by his owner. I do. And I don't think that's a smart thing to do. So anyway, what else?
Okay. Well, we're going to take New Orleans -3 against Green Bay. Obviously, this is now counter to what we've seen this year because Green Bay has been arguably one of the top, you know, 4 or 5 teams in terms of the way they've played. And they have played quite well and surprised most of us who were expecting for a big regression. New Orleans has looked relatively pedestrian. Especially like Drew Brees has looked that way without Michael Thomas, etc. But I just think this is a good spot for New Orleans. You know, -3 here. Again, this is a line that, you know, the look ahead line on this was more like New Orleans -6.5. So you've got a fair amount of line value based on what we've seen. And I just think this is a place where New Orleans, even on a short week, we'll win this game by more than 3 points.
So Carville was just on and said he was going to make a triple play on this on New Orleans, but he's from Louisiana and now lives in New Orleans. He believes that Breeze will bounce back. My worry would be that Aaron Rodgers sees this stage as even bigger than normal and that he would be great in this particular game. You know, that, I mean, yeah. I'm not saying you're wrong, but that's, yeah, that's the worry.
I think the difference will probably be the defense. And I think that, you know, the New Orleans defense at home here, I think that they're going to come to play. And you know, Rodgers is funny because people had kind of given up on him going into this year. And now
it's crazy.
He's all of a sudden had two great games and people are back thinking he's, you know, obviously he's an incredible talent, but again, this, all these bets are based on the line and three just seems short for,
yes,
a New Orleans team that we think is bigger, is better than Green Bay, and you know, in
totally spot, agree. Which is totally agree. That line is exists because of the fact that they lost last week, and people got off them, and they think Breeze can't throw the ball down the field anymore. And I suspect you're right in this game. Do you have a fifth game for us?
Yeah, we're going to take Philly -4.5 over Cincinnati. You know, obviously Philly is 0-2, have not played particularly well since he covered that game on Thursday miraculously. Do you have any idea what the difference in yards per play between Cincinnati and Cleveland last week?
No, no.
Cleveland earned 7.5 yards per play and Cincinnati owned 4 yards per play, 4.0 yards per play.
That's a big difference.
Somehow Cincinnati actually, and the reason was they had all those fourth downs that they converted, which over time is not sustainable. So I do think Cincy is worse than they looked so far this year. And obviously this is a game that Philly, you know, really needs. And we, you know, in a spot like this with a team that is probably not as bad as they've looked so far this season. I like Philly.
Okay. Thank you, Jeff. Jeff does Bet the Process with Rufus Peabody. The Philadelphia game, just as a final comment, there's so much scrutiny now of Carson Wentz. Don't you think? I mean, if he underperforms in this one, there are going to be people screaming to just get rid of him in Philadelphia.
Maybe they'll bring Jaworski back.
And Jaws is ready. He thinks he can still play. Everybody always thinks they can still play. Thank you, Jeff.
Thanks, Tony.
Jeff Ma, boys and girls, we will take a break. We will come back with jingles, right?
That's right.
Do we have jingles when we come back? Okay.
Jingles and some Steal the Bacon emails.
Yes, I'm Tony Kornheiser.
This is the Tony Kornheiser Show. Tony Kornheiser
Show. This is the Lincoln Financial ad. Hey, everyone, this new world we're living in has me and my family talking a lot more. I mean, we're talking about everything from how much greater was the greatest of all time than today's greatest, which we could have done with Gail Sayers, for example, the other day, to how to make sourdough bread, which my daughter Elizabeth makes from scratch, to how excited we are that football is finally back. That one's important. I can't keep watching my dog run circles in the backyard and call it a spectator sport. Actually, now what she does is she brings some Frisbees over to me and wants me to rip them out of her mouth, which I can't do because I'm afraid if I pull as hard as I can, I actually will pull her teeth out. And I don't want a dog.
I'm betting on the
teeth,
dog.
You know, so it's just, and then she's whining and she just wants to be outside. But if we let her outside, you know, then she whines to get back inside when we're inside. Back to the ad. But despite how talkative we all are, the people at Lincoln Financial want to point out the one conversation that most people still haven't had, your financial plans. So do find time to talk to your loved ones about it, because the more we talk, the better we plan, protect, and retire. That is why Lincoln Financial is here to help you. Get your right questions. This is important. Get the right questions to start your conversation at LincolnFinancial.com.
This is the Tony Kornheiser Show. Tony Kornheiser Show.
Here comes Tony's mailbag. Got your emails, faxes, and some notes. Here comes Tony's mailbag. Gonna read some for all of you folks.
That's lovely. That's Joe Arrow and John Neiswinger. In an effort of full disclosure here, we have another song. It's a fabulous song. It's by Claire Nottola and Jamie Julian and Robert Berg, and it is to the tune of Venus by Bananarama, and it's about Carville, and we just sort of felt it hit it a little bit too hard. Just a little bit too hard, but we'll rethink it. It's wonderful. We'll rethink it, but Not today. You want to do the Bethesda Bagels ad, Nigel?
Yes. Is everybody ready for Yom Kippur? That's right.
Yum.
It's coming up.
Yum.
Yes. When you break your fast, you want to head over to Bethesda Bagels. For the location nearest you in the D.C. area, just go to BethesdaBagels.com. They will be open every day from 7 a.m. to 3 p.m. We go to the one on Bethesda Road. That's 4819 Bethesda Avenue. It's just fantastic. I was very close to purchasing some black and white cookies I saw there. Perhaps I will do that next week. But they've got all kinds of wonderful things there. You'll love it.
That'll just about do it for us today. But before we get to the mailbag, let me just say I ain't going to work for Maggie's Ma no more. Not Maggie's Farm, Maggie's Ma. Well, she talks to all the servants about man and God and law. Everybody says she's the brains behind Pa. She's 68, but she says she's 54, and I ain't going to work for Maggie's Ma no more. Thanks to our guests today, Chuck Todd, James Carville. The song is for him. And Jeff Ma, host of the podcast, Bet the Process. Thanks today as well to our sponsors, Lincoln Financial, Policy Genius, and ExpressVPN. And remember that you can listen to us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Play, Radio.com. If you get the show through iTunes, please leave us a review. These are all about Steal the Bacon. From Greg in Helena, Montana, which is the capital of that state. Listening to your Steal the Bacon game description with my second grader, who is a seasoned listener. But when he started talking about camp, he pipes up, "How old is this guy? Keep swinging, Grandpa." From Amos Urin in Philadelphia. A staple of gym class at Sidwell Friends Lower School in the mid-1980s was a game called Taking the Bacon. It was virtually identical to what Mr. Tony describes, the only difference being that instead of a bowling pin, the bacon was a football that sat inside a hula hoop. If I remember correctly, we played in the cafeteria during indoor gym classes. Mr. Tony is right in saying the game had a certain degree of strategy. When you lined up, and in their case horizontally, not vertically, you wanted to make sure your faster players aligned with the other team's faster players and you had the same number. This way you could ensure that your Mac Watkins, your Jeff Parks, your Jody Cones, your Jimmy Ridleys, and players of their ilk would square off against one another. One variant that might not have existed back in the silent film era at Camp Kiyuma was the double or even triple number call. That is when multiple players got called at the same time. The initial bacon taker then had the opportunity to work with his or her teammates to return the bacon to the side safely through forward passes, laterals, etc. Looking back, this was a great game for athletic development and probably laid the foundation for what would come nearly a decade later when over my 3 years of varsity football, we manhandled a certain group of frogs from down Wisconsin Avenue by a cumulative score of 84-7. Yes, I know I sound like Al Bundy, and no, I'm not proud of it. I'd completely forgotten about this game until Monday, and your recollections have sparked a fresh conversation in a text thread with several childhood friends. I'm not sure if Mr. Sear, our venerable gym teacher, was a Camp Kiyuma grad or how the game found its way to Sidwell, but rest assured you're not the only one with fond memories of stealing, taking, and otherwise absconding with the bacon. Yes, they had multiple numbers. You'd go 3 and 4 or something like that. And if you had a big guy on your team, he would break the rules by throwing a cross body block into somebody on the other team as you tried to scamper back to the sideline.
We need Sam Neill on the show to go through butts up it versus the walls up debate.
Yeah, okay. Ryan from Cincinnati on last Wednesday's show, you explained the game Steal the Bacon to Gary, which gave me flashbacks to my time as camp counselor in Michigan during the summer of 2010. The camp directors had outlawed Steal the Bacon because the games were getting too violent, resulting in kids getting injured. To raise morale, during the dog days of summer, myself and another counselor organized an unofficial midnight game of Steal the Bacon between our cabins. But instead of using a ball or a bowling pin, the bacon was an old mattress. The game went well at first until the two cabins got heated and we had to end it before any fights broke out. Needless to say, I found myself in the camp director's office a couple of days later explaining what we did. And after another counselor spoke and it was my turn, all I could add was, and my best Marlon Brando from Apocalypse Now impersonation said, "The bacon, it got too big." From Neil in Rockville. I was very surprised Gary was unfamiliar with Steal the Bacon, which I am familiar with and pretty sure was an approved recess game in the Montgomery County school system, which is different than the more violent and potentially injury-causing game of Red Rover, Red Rover, neither of which pales in comparison to the violence of the Red Rubber Ball game, whose name has been appropriately banned for decades. From Lucy Andrews in Columbus, Ohio. As one of the younger littles who listens to the show, I thought I would share the modern version of Steal the Bacon that I use as a practice drill when coaching my high school varsity lacrosse girls team. Setup: divide players into two teams of equal ability, the same number of attackers, defenders, and midfielders on each team. Let's say there are 7 girls on each team for this example. To start each round, the ball is placed at midfield and opposing teams stand on opposite sidelines. The goal for each round is to successfully pick up the ground ball before the other team and score a goal. The team with the most goals at the end of seven rounds wins. Before each round, each team huddles together to secretly decide how many players they're going to send out to steal the bacon or pick up the ground ball in this case. When the whistle blows to start the round, both sides are released from the sidelines and the predetermined number of players are live. Whoever picks up the ground ball first is on offense, the other team on defense. So this is so it's done, and that makes sense for lacrosse. Got to be tough.
Got to chase them.
Yeah. Tim in Frederick, Maryland. Steal the bacon was not restricted to your camp. I'm in my mid-50s and played it frequently as a Boy Scout in Maryland. Hadn't thought about it in years, but I remember it as being big fun. Ted Perry in Whitefish Bay, Wisconsin. I loved hearing your description of Steal the Bacon that you played at camp as a kid. It was my favorite game to play during gym class at St. Francis Xavier School outside Chicago. What you didn't share was the strategy used when your number was called. Mine was foolproof. I had pretty good wheels as a kid. I'd often arrive at the beanbag before the other kid. Now, most people with speed would grab the bait and run back, failing to realize they had forfeited all momentum, allowing their slightly slower opponent to use his momentum to tag them and get the point. I would arrive first, scoop up the bag, and make a sharp cut to my opponent's corner. This gave me plenty of time to turn around, set myself, and plot a course with much more room to run. Think Gale Sayers fielding a kickoff at the goal line. I mean, that's what I was thinking anyway. Worked every time. Could never understand how it never became an Olympic sport. Be a great Olympic sport. And from Mike O'Brien in Boston, formerly Revere, thank you for clearing up Steal the Bacon. When you said it was a game you played at summer camp, I pictured you in shorts with suspenders and a little bow tie, laughing while pushing a wheel with a stick. If you're out on your bike tonight, everyone, as always, do wear white.
Hola, nosotros somos Pineapple Landscaping y escuchamos el show de Tony Kornheiser. Pero este show apesta.
Drinking out by myself, trying to lose my memory. I've been slow cooking from the inside out, wondering what you've done to me. I've been lying to my friends and lying to myself. Now I'm lying in a roadside bar, 'cause there ain't no way to drink all day if you don't. Drinking all by my lonesome, can't remember which lies are true. I've been slow dancing with the devil herself, but her face, it looks like you. I've been day drinking all alone, hollow from the inside out, playing Russian roulette with the numbers on my phone, wearing everybody out. Done to me. I've been writing checks that my body can't cash, just to wait until the bill comes due. I've been day drinking all by myself since the day I found out about you. Let's
with the numbers on my phone, wearing everybody out. Hey!
With the talk I hear.